You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Well, Susan said, my name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around here, and this morning is the last Sunday of 2019. And how was 2019 for you guys? I saw some thumbs up. I saw a real quick thumbs down. Okay. For me, it was a roller coaster kind of year. There were a lot of changes that happened this past year. Some really awesome changes and some really hard ones. It's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and honestly, a lot of Tuesdays. You know, most days are Tuesdays, like nothing special about a Tuesday, right? Just a Tuesday. A lot of normal life in the middle. So a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and a lot of Tuesdays. As I think about our church, especially this many people in a room like this, there's probably a lot of ups and downs, probably a lot of people in different places, right? Some of you probably feel very rested right now and encouraged, and you feel healthy, and 2019 has been a good year for you, and you're looking forward to the year ahead. That's a great place to be. But some of you are probably fatigued, maybe feeling unhealthy, feeling discouraged, and for some of you, you're looking forward to 2020, and there is a sense of discouragement, maybe even dread, and probably most of us are somewhere in between, right? Somewhere in between, where some are enjoying the sense of tranquility along with this abundance of peace, and you have real satisfaction in relationships, and you're satisfied with your job or with a family life, and that's a good thing. That should be celebrated. That's a blessing, but others are experiencing a season of strife, right? Just things are hard. Agitation. Maybe there's even the sense of very deep dissatisfaction in your work or your family life or your relational life. And again, probably most of us are somewhere in between, right? Somewhere in between. But I was thinking, wherever you are, wherever we are, as we turn this corner into 2020, it's my sense that God has this invitation for each of us. And whether or not you're a person of deep faith, some of you are people of deep faith. I know your heart. I've seen your faith. You're just deeply in love with Jesus. And others of us, if we're honest, it's just shallow right now. Right? It's okay to be honest, right? Some of us, our faith's really deep. Some of us, our faith is really shallow. But wherever you are faith-wise, I believe God's inviting us to pause. To pause this morning from this American fast-paced existence and to instead turn our eyes on Jesus, have a chance to hit a reset button and let Jesus set the direction, let Jesus set the tone, the substance for the year ahead. So as we talk about the year ahead for us, as well as look at some scripture together, let's acknowledge that God's presence is in the room with us. Let's acknowledge his presence and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and our minds for what it is he has for us this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, it is mind-boggling to think that you are among us in this room. We are gathered in the name of Jesus, and your scripture says where two or three are gathered in your name, there's your special presence is here. And so, wow, what a reality. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts and our minds for it is you have for us. We know that you are good, that you are active, that you are living and breathing. So we invite you, have your way. God, I pray that you'd meet each of us where we're at right now and speak boldly and clearly. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, the main passage we're going to look at this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you have a Bible, open up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 2, where we read this. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Now, this is written by a guy named Paul, okay? Paul's writing this letter and is writing to the church that he pastors, okay? Their pastor Paul's writing to the church that he has pastored. He's now separated from them. He's on a trip, but he still is kind of their overseer, their pastor. So verse 2. I, Paul, I'm your pastor, and I'm jealous for you, church. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise to you to one husband. I promised you, church, to Christ. I want to present you as a pure virgin to him. I, as your pastor, wanted you to grow in a way that pleased Jesus. I had this longing for you. I wanted, oh man, I had so much for you. But I'm afraid That word "but's" a hard transition, isn't it? But I'm afraid that just as way back in the beginning, Adam and Eve were deceived, as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, I'm afraid that your minds may somehow also be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Other translations say things like the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Or the New Living, which says, you're pure, I love this, an undivided devotion. I don't know about you, but my life is not described as undivided or simple, right? I mean, simple and undivided are not how I would describe my life. A few years ago, I was having so many different online passwords that it was just getting crazy. And this one would say you have to change your password now, and this one would be different. So I finally got, you know, one of those master password programs where you have the one password that opens up the program for all the other passwords, you know what I'm saying? The one password that would store all the other passwords. This past week, I opened it up, and I counted how many online passwords I have. Guess how many there are? Huh? 103. You know, he said 103. It's actually 159. I'm not joking, there's 159 different websites where I have my login and different passwords because some want an exclamation mark, some want a number, some want three, some want eight characters. There's 159 different logins I have online. That is not simple. And then I think about my communication with friends. I have friends that will actually call me on the phone, like an actual, like, they call on the phone, like a ringer. I know, some of you, like, that's amazing. Most text. Others reach out to me on Facebook. They don't call or text, they just send a Facebook message. Some people will send me an Instagram message. I have three different email accounts. At times, to talk to people, I've FaceTimed people, I've Skyped people. I mean, now, growing up, when I was young, we had one phone line in the house. That was it, right? That was it. I mean, I got a pager when I was young. That was pretty cool, my little pager on the side. But when someone would page me, even then with the phone being tied up, that was it. I mean, you had to wait, right? But nowadays, we're bombarded with message after message with little to no time to be unplugged or undivided. So much of our time is undivided because all this technology around us. I mean, think about this. I've got a Netflix account. I have an Amazon Prime account. I have Sling TV because that's where ESPN's on during football season. We have a Hulu account in our family. It's crazy. Not to mention the black hole that YouTube is, right? Can we all just be honest? There are times where it's just like, I spent 3 hours watching YouTube clips of Gordon Ramsay. What in the world just happened? I mean, there's just thousands of things that can distract me from the reality of an undivided, pure focus on Jesus. On top of that, I have friends, you might too, that are on all the different ends of the political spectrum. Right? I mean, that is a black hole. I mean, how many people have, The conversation around the dinner table this week has been like, ooh. I mean, so much debates and arguments it's just a black hole. It can pull me in. It can devour hours of my time trying to find how can I respond to Uncle Johnny. I mean, do you know what Uncle Johnny just said and just devours my time? I think we all agree. Do we all agree we live in a distracted age? And probably a confused age. And I know we think we're special. Oh, we have all this technology. We're the first ones to ever deal with this. We're so special. We live in such a special time in human history. But friends, that's not true. There's nothing special about our time. This is very ordinary. I mean, 2,000 years ago, this pastor writing to his church in this city about the same size as South Bend, this pastor said to his church, simple devotion, friends. It's easy to have a divided life. Hey, friends, undivided devotion to Jesus. You see, it's always been the case. It's always been the case to have this this confronting competing ideas and competing opinions that shout for our attention, that shout for our loyalty. And into this ongoing struggle, God and God's word points us, keep Jesus at the center. Keep Jesus as the orienting point of our lives. You read this passage, you get this sense that this pastor is pleading with this church, don't you? I wanted so much for you. But there's so much things that can distract you. You get the sense this pastor's like, I wanted to present you as this pure, I wanted to present you before Christ, but man, things are tough. He's pleading with them, don't be distracted in your faith. Don't be distracted in your thinking. Don't be divided or distracted in your way of living. Don't be distracted in your relationships. He says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. He's jealous. He wants him to know Christ so much, yet they're being led astray by competing loyalties and competing lovers and competing voices and competing ideas and just distractions. Things that are good but are not great, and just distractions that lead them astray from their sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Led astray from your pure and undivided devotion to Jesus. Friends, it is nothing new. Us humans have always lost our way. We make faith more complicated than it needs to be. Faith in Jesus does not have to be complicated, okay? Faith in Christ can be simple. It can be pure. It can be undivided. But I guess the question is, well, how, Keith? I mean, how do we do this practically? Now, I want to warn you. You ready for this? I'm not going to tickle your ears this morning with anything new. What I'm going to share this morning is not rocket science. This is not secret knowledge. This is not complicated. For 95% of you, you've heard this sermon many, many times, okay? Some of you, this will be new. I'm glad you're here to hear this. But for most of you, this will not be new. This is going to be such review of the basics. Some of you are going to go, did he really just preach that sermon? And the answer is yes. And here's why. One of the closest friends of Jesus, a guy named Peter, wrote this near the ending of his life. Think about all the ministry Peter had, all the things that Peter saw. He wrote this nearing the end of his life. So I, Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, I always remind you of these things. I'm going to always remind you, even though you know them, even though you're firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live. Verse 15, and I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you'll always be able to remember these things. I love that. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live. And that's basically what I'm going to do this morning, okay? When Riverside was founded 10 years ago, we put together these values. These values will guide what our church is like. The mission describes what a church does, but values describe kind of what it looks like. And 10 years ago, we wrote out this value, said this, our pursuit is guided by God's Spirit. Our pursuit of faith is guided by God's Spirit through many things, but primarily the big ones are community and prayer and the Scripture. We wrote that 10 years ago. So guess what my 3 points are to my message today? I'm going to remind you, like I reminded you for 10 years. There's 3 basic ways to keep a pure and undivided devotion to Christ. Now, friends, please listen. There are more ways to connect to Christ. I'm not going to simply say the Bible and prayer and community are it. In fact, during the learning community we're going to have this January, we'll talk about the many different spiritual practices, the different ways that people are wired to connect with Christ. We'll have a whole learning community on how you can learn to connect with Christ in ways that are unique to you because we're all so differently. But this morning, I'm just going to remind us of 3 essential ways of a pure and undivided devotion to Christ. Just review for most of us. So I'm going to begin with some practical ways to be devoted to God's written word, the Bible. Now, I think it's fair to assume, I know a lot of you, I know most of your lives, most of you have full lives. Most of you are pretty busy. It's fair to assume most of you don't have tons of extra time, right? Most of you aren't going, I have so much downtime. I mean, your days are not filled with extended time of solitude, are they? Or silence. Most of you have demanding jobs. Most of you have different family responsibilities, or you have a heavy class load. Some of you are single parents. Some of you are facing medical issues right now that just cause great stress and great challenges. And so, look, I assume most of us have pretty stressful, filled days. Let's also be honest. Many of us waste many minutes of most days, maybe even hours, where you could reallocate and repurpose. It's common for people to tell me they're way too busy to spend time reading God's Word, or they're way too busy to be in a home group, or way too busy to carve out special time to be with Jesus. Yet, if they're like me, they have plenty of time to watch Netflix, or watch football, or surf Facebook. So if you're like me, you can spend a lot of time on projects that aren't as urgent as we allow them to be. And I wonder how different our lives would be if we simply allocated a regular time to be with Jesus. I mean, just said, I'm going to allocate time to be with Christ. Or as it says in Colossians, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Have you carved out time in your week to let the message of Christ dwell among you richly? Dwelling richly. And one of the primary ways to do this is letting the Word of God dwell deeply in us. And there's different ways to do this, friends. You can read it. You can read aloud. You can read it in your mind. You can commit it to memory. You can meditate on it. And friends, please don't hear this. I'm not trying to be legalistic here. This is not a should have or you must have. This is not the life God's calling you into. God's calling us into a simple, pure, undivided devotion to Christ, where life is found, where peace is found, where grace is found, where the presence of God is found. And you see, when we understand that God's heart and God's word is meant to lift our burdens, God's heart and God's word is meant to enrich our lives, it's meant to be a freedom, a voice of freedom in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of clutter. And we realize that God's word is like a good meal. You'd be foolish not to want to eat it, right? You never go, man, I don't want to eat a good meal today. I'd rather, no, it's a good meal. So this is a warm invitation from God, not a legalistic one. This is a warm invitation from the God who loves us, who's gifted us with his wonderful written word. But let's be honest, most of us spend so much time listening to other voices, right? How many other voices are guiding us these days other than God's written word? And then we wonder, why is it so hard to have a sincere and pure devotion to Christ? It's because we've not let the word of God be our primary shaper of our thinking or of our living. We let it be Fox News or Huffington Post or whoever's speaking the loudest around our dinner table or whichever Facebook friends we've decided to listen to the most. We don't let the word of God guide us. We let other things guide us. Next week, we're starting a brand new sermon series. It'll be in the book of Hebrews. We'll spend 5 months, give or take, going verse by verse in the book of Hebrews. It's an amazing, amazing book. It's so much Old Testament is covered as we talk about Christ. And it's amazing. I'm so excited to be rooted in Hebrews together. And one thing Hebrews will say at the end of the letter, it says this: do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. And I think it's fair to say there's a lot of strange teaching out there today, aren't there? Lots of it. You don't need me to tell you all the strange things floating around the world today. I mean, turn on the radio or the TV or look on Facebook. You'll find them. I mean, just sift through anything online. You'll find whatever it is you want to say. And to combat that, you need to be rooted in the Scriptures, which have never changed. And look, there are many ways to interact with Jesus through the Scriptures. I'm not just saying you must do it this way. There's many good and sound spiritual approaches to the scriptures that can form us into and grow us. And by the way, in the learning community, you'll learn about some of those. I mean, you can memorize the Word of God. You can meditate on the Word of God. You can use ancient practices such as Lectio Divina. It's an amazing, beautiful thing where you take one word and you think, you know, the Spirit of God just speak to you from the Scriptures. You know, the next word. It's a very slow way of going through it. Or you can take a modern day commentary from a scholar and just parse verbs and go through it. You can ponder one verse. You can read large sections, getting a picture of how big God's kingdom is. So there are many, many right ways to read the scriptures. By the way, there's also many wrong ways to read it too. I know many people who use the scriptures in damaging ways. And so there are many wrong ways to use the scripture. But there are many right ways, friends. I'm not going to cover those today, but if you have questions, talk with me, talk with one of our elders, one of our home group leaders. We'd be more than willing to sit down and show you the different ways to engage with the written word of God. But friends, this new year, I want to encourage you to reflect deeply upon the Word of God. Make it part of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ in 2020. Let it speak to you. Let it grip you. Let it shape you. It's my encouragement to you. Another important way to have a sincere and pure devotion to Christ is to maintain this moment-by-moment connection with Jesus, right? Where you just this connection with Christ through this conversation called prayer. And look, prayer is a big topic, right? On one hand, we hear the word prayer and you go, Keith, I know what prayer is talking to God. Are we really having a sermon where we're talking about prayer is talking to God? Yes. Prayer is simply talking to God. On the other hand, it can be hard, right? Am I the only one who prayer is hard for? Yes? Okay. I'm the most shallow guy in this room then, because prayer is hard for me. But I know it's good. And I know if I want a sincere and pure devotion to Christ, I have to have an active prayer life, this moment-by-moment connection with the God of the universe. And friends, look, there are also various ways of praying. People are made so differently. Conversational. So there are various ways of praying. I'm not going to teach on the various ways of praying this morning. I'm only going to simply demonstrate for you the one way for me lately that has been so valuable. There are many ways to pray. I'm only going to show you one way. It's not the only way, but it's the way that's been so beneficial for me lately. Jesus talked a lot about prayer, and in Matthew chapter 6, after talking about prayer, he actually demonstrated prayer for his disciples. It's what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And one of the many different ways to pray, the one that's most impactful for me, this is Keith personally, is to pray in response to the scriptures. So often when I'm praying by myself, within like 90 seconds, I'm thinking about Taco Bell or the Ohio State game, and I'm praying again. But within 90 seconds, I'm gone on somewhere else. My mind just wanders. It's amazing how it happens. But when I pray in response to the scripture, personally, for something, it just anchors me. It's amazing. And so what I typically do is I go run 3 to 4 times every week in the morning. And so typically when I'm running, I start off by using the Lord's Prayer as a guide for me. I'm going to illustrate this for you. I'm actually going to demonstrate it. I'm actually going to pray right now to show you what it's like for me. So I'm jogging along, and then I'll say out loud, assuming no one's near me. I usually run pretty early, but there's someone running by, and I'll just start speaking out loud. But I'll be running along, and I will say, Father in heaven. And then I'll pray. God, you're my dad. Even God, it's amazing to think that right now with all these friends in the room, that as your adopted son, as a child of the King of the universe, that you're my dad. Even as I have a microphone on God right now and I'm teaching in front of all these people, you're my dad. And you're with me and you're good. And you're a good dad. God, I think that I've had a good dad too. I know so many friends in the room have had pretty bad examples of fathers. I've had a good example. God, I thank you for my father-in-law in the room. My wife's dad. She had a great example of a father. God, you're a good dad. You really are. I keep running. And then I say, how our Father, I have to repeat it because I always forget where I'm at. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I'll be praying, God, your name is holy. God, the name of Christ, the name of Jesus. God, you are, there's so many names given to you in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. God, you have provided so well for me. I think about where I was 3 years ago with massive back pain, and now you've provided health for me and healing from that back pain through surgeons. I thank you for the surgeons, God. You are holy. Your name is holy. You are the great physician. Jesus, I think about you, the bread of life. We're going to celebrate communion together here soon. You're the bread of life. You are where satisfaction is found. What a name. You're the light of the world. You're the Prince of Peace. God, as I'm typically not very peaceful, I'm a pretty antsy guy, I'm a pretty distracted guy, I'm a pretty discontent guy. You're the Prince of Peace. So, and that is a holy thing. You are set apart, and you are holy. And your name is holy. So would you help me rest in all those things that you are? And help me have a reverence for you, God. A holy reverence. Now, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your kingdom come and your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. God, your kingdom reign. God, you are the king right now. And I've seen your kingdom reign, God. I've seen you break. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. I've seen your kingdom break and bring salvation, God. But also, as you've taught us to pray, would it come here on earth as it already is in heaven, meaning it's not yet fully here. And God, there's some brokenness. I think of how the brokenness in my life and my friends' lives and this church, God, I pray that your kingdom would come. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now who, when I described in the opening of the sermon, some have had some great peaceful years, some have had some pretty hard years. God, for my friends who've had some pretty hard years, I pray your kingdom would come. I pray your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Because in heaven, where your perfect reign is, oh, I think about the perfect bodies we'll have. I think about there's no more war, there's no more division, there's no more tears. And God, that's going to come here on earth one day. I pray for it now, God. I pray for my friends who are broken and bruised that your kingdom would come here on earth as it already is in the heavens. Now, friends, I praise all your name, Jesus. Amen. There. The official closing, right? We can raise our hands. Yeah. Now, I probably prayed through 1/4 of the Lord's Prayer, and I rushed that 1/4. I could, there's, if I weren't having a microphone in front of all you all, may your kingdom come. There's some things that popped in my mind right now. I'm not going to pray out loud. That would be inappropriate. I could be praying for certain people that I know about in this room. Right? But man, I could pray all day long about that. And the next thing, I could pray for 45 minutes of the Lord's Prayer. Within 90 seconds without the Lord's Prayer, I'm on Taco Bell. It's just where my mind goes. It's amazing. I'm hungry. It's sorry. So for me, that's one of the primary ways I have a simple and pure devotion to Christ. I'll use Psalm 52 at times. I'll use different scriptures, passages. I'll read them and let whatever the scriptures say guide my conversation with Christ. There's many other ways to pray. That's just the way I do it. If you have more questions about that, come talk to me. Now, one more thing I want to close with as you consider 2020. One of our founding values for the past 10 years as a church, we said this: our pursuit is guided by God's Spirit through prayer and the Bible and through community. And friends, I want to tell you right now, I don't want to heap obligation on you. I don't want to heap guilt on you. I don't want to heap pressure on you. I just want to encourage you this year, for the year ahead of you, get connected. Get connected. It is so easy to live a life with so many vehicles. I have 3 email accounts, Facebook, Instagram. Apparently, I have a Twitter account I even know about. My son's laughing me in the back. Apparently, I have a Twitter account from sometime way back when. Don't try to find me on that one. Right? And yet, so many of us are so lonely because we're waiting for someone to call. It is so easy to live lives of isolation. We have all this technology, yet so much of us are so lonely. Friends, I want to encourage you, meet with folks on a deep level. There are people in this room who are waiting to be called. Probably you yourself going, does anyone care about me? Yes. Pick up the phone, please, though. Friends, I want to encourage you. I'll let the author of Hebrews encourage you, in fact. We're gonna spend the next 5 months rooted. It says this. Let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Who is spurring you on right now? Who's spurring you on? And if the answer is no one, friends, do you want to be spurred? I want to be spurred on towards love. I want that. So don't give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing, it is so easy to live isolated lives, friends. But rather encourage one another. So many people have all this technology and we're waiting for someone to call us. Don't wait. Call. And by the way, they might not call you back. Amen? Some of you are like, Keith, I've tried it. Keith, I tried to call you and you didn't call me back. Sorry. You probably used the wrong email address. I got three of them. I don't know. I'm sorry. People are going to hurt you. People let you down. Please call. You got to call. You got to reach out. Make the point, friends. It is so easy to be isolated. When you're isolated, you get picked off by the enemy. We all need bands of brothers and bands of sisters. You do. I'm telling you, friends, you can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. You'll get picked off. Can't. So look, that's my sermon. And you're going, Keith, that's you had 5 weeks, Keith, of not preaching. Yes. Adam preached all of Advent. Adam preached on Christmas Eve. And Keith, you had 5 weeks and you really had the sermon on. You should read scripture and you should pray and you should be in community. Yes. But as your pastor, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live. I think it's right, as Peter once wrote 2,000 years ago, to refresh your memory as long as I live. And so expect this sermon again next New Year's, probably. I might recycle it. I will take all of Advent off next year, I promise you. I can't promise you. Some of you are like, Adam did a great job. He did a great job. But friends, I want to pray. I've been praying that your 2020 will be marked with sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I mean, really. I pray that your 2020 would have the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. A year marked with pure and undivided devotion to Christ. I just love the fact that we get to kind of wrap up this calendar year by singing to Jesus together and also coming around the table of communion together. All the elements are right there in the middle of the room, because what I love about this orientation we've had this Advent is we come around the table. And when one of you take the elements from this side, the other of you are on the other side, you get to see each other. Oh, we're in this together. And so this morning, we're going to sing some more songs to Jesus. Prepare your heart. Think about your last year. How would 2019 have been summarized for you? And how would 2020 be different? How would it have a more sincere, simple, pure devotion to Christ? Write some things down. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Then as you prepared your heart, go to the table of communion. Take the elements back to your seat. Eat and drink as you feel led. But when you're at the table, slow down. Look across the room. It's in the middle for a reason this morning, okay? If someone's there and your heart's prompted, ask them, can I pray for you? I know, amazing. Like, they might say no. Don't be offended. They might say yes. Awesome. if you need prayer for anything, as I've been talking, things are stirring and you're going, Keith, I've got a pretty shallow, or Keith, my faith is dead right now. If that's you, and you want prayer for anything, I'll be back there by the big sentences, prayer. Some of our leaders will be back there as well. We'd love to pray with you. We think there's something powerful when the community of God come together and pray for one another. So if you need prayer for anything, I'll be back there, some of our leaders. Okay? So would you stand as we continue to have a pure devotion to Christ together through song, through the table, and through prayer. Jesus, God, I pray that you would take us so much deeper. God, I feel like this Advent season has been such a special time of holding the tension and of waiting for you and reflecting upon you and just being attentive to our hearts. And God, now that we have come through Advent and we're in the season of Christmas, I just pray that we would be attentive more to your Spirit. God, I look forward to what you have for us as we journey through Hebrews together as a church. God, I can't wait. I'm so enamored already by the opening four verses in Hebrews where we get to see how glorious and how wonderful you are and how supreme you are and how amazing and awestruck we can be, we should be of you, God. I can't wait till next week, God. And God, I think we can do this together as a family of faith. God, I pray for my friends who are, even as I said things about you being a good father, their heart was gripped because this past week has not been marked by a good earthly dad. God, I pray for them there be healing, and I pray that we could leverage our faith together for that. God, I pray for the learning community in January that Mike will lead. God, I pray that you would use him and use the book by John Ortberg to form our church, to give us a picture of what it looks like to have a devotion towards you, Christ. God, in this 2020, I pray you'd help us give careful thought to our ways, give careful thought to our devotion, give careful thought to our rules of life as a church and as a people and as individuals. Thanks for your presence. Thanks for your love. And be glorified in all that we do. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.